a decent job of it. One of the questions that a lot of Mefarshim ask here in the beginning of Parshas Shlach is what exactly was the Chet HaMeraglim? Where exactly lied the error of the Meraglim? On the one hand, it's pretty clear that it had to do with the manner in which they spoke about Eretz Yisrael. But amongst the Mefarshim, different questions as far as what exactly the root of the problem actually was. If you look at Rashi in the beginning of the Parsha, this is something which is which the Ramban emphasizes and questions a little bit. Rashi seems to understand that there is a problem in the initial idea even to send Meraglim. The Ribono Shel Olam told us that it's going to be it's a beautiful land, it's a good place to go. Ani Amarti Lahem Shehi Tova, the Ribono Shel Olam told us that it was good, and the fact that we were going to question it, on some level, it seems to be a pigam in Amuna, which really started all of it. The Ramban questions, well, why is it necessarily a pigam in Amuna? L'chora, there's a good reason why they would want to check it out. Ein somchen al hanes, we don't want to rely too much on miracles. And there are those who, as a result, suggest that the problem wasn't as much the initial idea to send Meraglim, but the problem was the manner in which the Meraglim, Dafka, reported that which they saw. One Mahalach, Rav Yam recorded last night from the Zohar, the Baba Terebi quoted it as the classic explanation in Torah Sachasidus, is that the Meraglim made a profound error. The Meraglim thought, and you find this in other Sefer Chassidus also, in the Sefer Siach Sarfei Kodesh, which is a compilation of Torah from Peshischa, you have a bit of a similar insight, that maybe the problem of the Meraglim was one in which they thought, you know what, the Midbar is not that bad. The Midbar is a pretty good place. In the Midbar, the man, the food is provided for us. We don't have to work that much. We're sitting around Moshe Rabbeinu, and we're able to learn Torah at a very high level. And therefore, they had the perspective of maybe going into Eretz Yisrael is not that good, because there's something very special about being in the Midbar with Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah is given in the Midbar, and we have the opportunity to be there. And in that sense, the problem wasn't the Chisaron and the Muna, which Rashi describes in Chazal. The problem was a misunderstanding as far as what a Jew is supposed to be doing and what is considered to be ideal. The Ribono Shel Olam wants us to enter Eretz Yisrael. The Ribono Shel Olam wants us to enter a place, but we're not going to have the Mun. And we're not going to be able always to be as focused maybe as we would want in terms of just sitting there and being able to learn Torah. There are other responsibilities, but those are responsibilities that the Ribono Shel Olam wants us to have. That Stam is a very important insight for this stage in life, and we're ending today and moving on a little bit. There is something important there. In the world of Kutsk, and Rabbi Lam also in a drasha picks up on this, they have a third insight into what exactly was the underlying sin, and they dafka focus on one formulation. Torah tells us in Bamidbar Yud Gimel Lama Gimel, V'shamra inu esin tefilim, v'nei anak men tefilim, v'nehi be'inenu kachai gavim, we saw the people there, and we were in our own eyes like grasshoppers, v'chein hayinu be'inehem, and we were also perceived as being grasshoppers in their eyes. Rabbi Lam offers the following suggestion. Again, you have a similar idea in the world of Kutsk. This is in his Drashas Ladoros, or Drashat Ladorot, I guess is the actual way to say it. So Rabbi Lam points out as follows, that part of what was going on with the Meraglim, the story that the Meraglim were people who had no self-respect. These were Meraglim that did not believe enough in themselves, and because they failed to believe sufficiently in themselves, because what were they talking about? They weren't describing what happened. They were saying, we perceive ourselves as being people who are very small. And, points out Rabbi Lam, whenever you perceive yourself as being very small, other people are also going to perceive you that way. That if you perceive yourself as a person who's void, who's lacking a certain kind of confidence, lacking a certain kind of skills, so then others are going to be able to perceive you that way also. Balaam suggests that that's a phenomenon which sometimes exists. It's again, it's not the question of Rashi and Ramban, of a bitachon hishtadlus question, of an emuna question. It's not the shaila of the important shaila that the Zohar raises of being in an isolated place where you're able to learn Torah so nicely and be able to focus there. But for Balaam, it's a question of a Jew having a certain kind of self-confidence. Rabbi Lam, in a drasha that he gave, it was after an interesting event, Rabbi Lam points out that from his perspective, you find this often with Jews, especially when they interact sometimes in secular cultures. Rabbi Lam is the author of Torah Umada, so anything he points out about the risks of secular culture should be viewed within that context, and I think are also, as a result, very important, because it tells us something about the need to draw lines. He pointed that sometimes Jews, especially American Jews, so those from England in the room and Israel in the room can feel good about themselves, often engage in a mimicry and imitation of everything which tastes of non-Jewish sophistication. sometimes when we're around non-Jews, so we don't have enough of that pride to be able. We start. We think they're greater. We're not that great, and we want to be a lot like them, and we lose a certain sense of pride, a certain sense of confidence, which is very much there, and I think really should be there. And that's one of the risks. We've quoted three insights so far. I'll quote with you a fourth that I think is unbelievably beautiful, and the opposite of the Rebbe Lamb idea from Kotsk. The first Shabbos, I think, I ever went to Montreal when I was dating my wife. So the rabbi of the shul then at the time was Rabbi Chaim Steinmetz, who is now the rabbi of KJ in the Upper East Side. Rabbi Steinmetz is beautiful Torah that I remember hearing there a bunch of times Friday in the parsha. This was his Friday night insight between Mincha Ma'ariv, and it's unbelievable. He pointed the following. If you look at just Chumash and Rashi, you get different impressions whether the Chet HaMeraglim was, it was clear from the start it was going to go badly. It was clear from the start something is wrong, like the first Mahalach we quoted of Rashi, it stemmed from a certain problem in Amunah, or whether there was something that got sort of contaminated a little bit. Rashi points out they're kulam anashim, they're referred to as anashim, and anashim means anashim chashuvim. But also shak sheirim hayu. Were these people who were really good people? These were meraglim who were good people, anashim ksheirim, they were great leaders of Klal Yisrael. Or were they people that already from the start it was clear that they were going to do a bad job? When you learn Chumash Rashi, you're going to see in just mixed messages as far as who were they and what was the expectation, Meirosh. Rabbi Steinmetz offered the following beautiful insight about the Meraglim, and in many ways it's again it's the opposite of what Rabbi Lamb suggests. These people were great people. They were Anashim Chashuvim. These were people who were of a certain status. Kulam Anashim Rashi is called Anashim Shem Mikro Lashon Chashivas. But, suggested Rabbi Steinmetz, it was also failed. There was already from the beginning going to be a problem. Because great people often suffer from one fatal flaw. And the fatal flaw that great people often suffer from is the belief that just because they're great right now means that they're always going to be great. Part of the problem with the Meraglim was not a lack of self-confidence. It was too much self-confidence. These were great people. They were Anashim Chashuvim. And they thought as a result of being Anashim Chashuvim that they were going to always remain Anashim Chashuvim. And that was the problem. It was the fault that many great people have. There was the belief that they're so good right now. Oh, I'm sure I'm always going to continue to be that way. And it's not always the case. That's why there's something great about people who know how to be successful and how to continue to build and cultivate their own success. We spoke about four different insights into the problem, into the Chet HaMeraglim. There are more. We spoke about how, according to Rashi, the problem was away from the beginning. There was a certain pagam and emunah. We spoke about how, according to the Zohar and Chabad, Chassidus, and others, that the problem was one of a belief that this is the ideal. The ideal is to be there in the Midbar with the Mun there and learning Torah by Moshe Rabbeinu and not entering Eretz Yisrael, and that was a profound error. The third was the lack of self-confidence. They thought they couldn't do it. They thought, this is how small we are, and when you believe you're small, others will perceive you as being small. And the fourth insight, it stems from being great, but making the mistake that great people are always going to be great. And therefore, as a result, they were able to fall. Again, all different perspectives as far as the Chet HaMeraglim and Shkayach.